Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to be looking today at just a couple verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And as most of you know who've been here the last couple Sundays, we've been talking about various ways that we can show our thankfulness and gratitude to God, right? Started out with talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount where he tells us that we should seek his kingdom and his righteousness first to be our top priority, and then trust that everything that we need, everything else will be given to us as well. And we started out, and we talked about it last Sunday too, about how God tells us that first of all we should set our priorities, right? The priorities in our heart, live them in our life, but the only way to do that is to entrust everything to God, to really trust God. And we talked about different ways that we can do that as Christians. And, you know, we talked about the importance of worship, especially taking the time to come on Sunday for Sunday worship, taking the time to set some time aside every day to be in God's Word, either with meditations, a devotion, or a Bible reading plan. And then also making sure that we look for opportunities to serve God. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the most difficult part of that, and quite honestly, the part that nobody wants to hear. And I always wonder when, and we're going to talk about Christian giving. And I often wonder how many times when I preach a sermon on Christian giving, you know, how many people go home upset. So one thing I want you to promise me, that even if you go home upset today, you'll come back next week, okay? I often wonder what it's like for people who come to the Lord, who join a church as adults. You know, for me, in my life, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've been going to church every Sunday since my mother carried me to church, right? And it's always been part of my life to set aside Sunday morning to go to church. It's always been part of my life, as I was taught from a young child, to decide and to make contributions to the church. But I often wonder how new people feel, people who first come to the Lord. Do you know how many changes and priorities they have to make in their life? I mean, first of all, if they join a church, now they have to start setting aside Sunday morning for worship, right? And that means a sacrifice, because for their whole life they've been doing something else on Sunday morning. And sometimes it takes a while for people to get into the routine of coming to church every Sunday. You know, some of them never actually get there. And the other thing is, if you tell people to set time aside every day, you know, to be in God's Word, that's a priority too. And for most people, it means getting up 20 minutes to a half hour earlier in the morning so you can actually do it, because you know how that works. If you don't do it in the morning, you probably never get there, right? But Martin Luther once said, the last thing to be converted is the pocketbook. Because think about what people have to do. If they are going to give generously to the church, they now have to add a whole new line in their budget, right? And if you are going to add a new line in your budget, what does that mean? It means you have to change something in the rest of the budget, right? That there's something you have to give up. And people just don't like to do that. And that's what makes this part of giving thanks to God so difficult. Because no one likes to talk about money. No one likes to talk about especially parting with money, especially when it's their own, right? And we're no different. But what we're going to look at today is what God tells us about giving thanks to God with joyful giving. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. He sums it up really in one sentence. He says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Just really think about those words. You know, each man should decide in his heart what he should give. What that means is each person individually, it's your individual decision. No one, okay, no one should be able to force you, no one should be able to tell you how much you give to the Lord. Each man should decide in his own heart what to give. And notice what he says. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, not being forced, but God loves a cheerful giver. Now, let me ask you, are you a cheerful giver? I mean, really think about it. You know, people have come up to me and said, you know, that was a great hymn, Pat. We should sing that hymn more often. But no one has ever come up to me and said, you know, my favorite part of the service is when they pass the offering plate. I really enjoy that, and maybe we ought to do that twice. No one's ever said that to me, right? And I guess that's not really where the joy should be determined. What we should really do is look at what's in your heart when you decided how much you were going to give to church today. And hopefully if you've decided, right? I mean, some people don't do that. But when you fill out your church envelope, when you write that check, when you decide how much to take out of your purse or wallet, do you do it joyfully? Or do you feel like you're being compelled to do it? And see, what God says is it should be a joy. And what can we do to make it be a joy? To do something we want to do and not something we feel we have to do. Well, look at what the Apostle Paul said to these people living in Corinth. He says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Do you notice he used the word all four times and the word every once? And I mean, just think of what he's saying here. He says, God is able to make all grace abound. What goes through your mind when you think about grace? Well, you think about Jesus, right? And you think of the God's grace, which moved him to send Jesus to die on that cross for us, so that because of the grace of God, we know that our sins are forgiven, we are saved, and we're going to heaven. But God's grace doesn't stop there, does it? You know, the Bible also says, by grace are you saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. So not only was it God's grace that sent Jesus to save us, it's God's grace that created faith in our hearts. It's God's grace that continues not just to sustain our faith, but to strengthen our faith every day through the word and receiving the sacrament. That's God's grace. And the Bible also tells us that through God's grace, He enables us to live our lives for Jesus, to live our lives as Christians. But he also says, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. It's by God's grace and his promise that he says, in everything, at all times, you will have all that you need. And that kind of goes back to what we talked about 2 weeks ago, about entrusting everything to God. When Jesus said, seek ye first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And what was the whole section before that? Don't worry, right? Don't worry about what you will eat and what you will put on, right? Don't worry about all that stuff. But trust God that he will provide in all things everything you need so that you can serve him in every good work. And that's tough to do, isn't it? It's tough to do that when we are deciding how to divide up the financial blessings God has given us. Maybe to help us understand this, we should go back to the Old Testament. And there are a couple things that God did with his Old Testament believers as they were coming out of Egypt and settling in the Promised Land to help them with this whole matter of trust. The first one was giving them the manna in the wilderness. You know what that was? The people ran out of food. So every morning God said the dew would be on the ground, and when the dew went away, there would be these little pieces of bread. It said tasted like honey bread. But what did he tell them to do? He said, I want you to go out and I want you to pick up like about 1 quart per person. And that's it. Just enough for one day, because tomorrow there'll be more manna. Well, what did the people do? Well, a lot of them didn't trust that God would provide for them, so what did they do? They went and picked up a whole bunch more. And then in the morning, they looked at the extra they tried saving for the next day, and it was all full of maggots. It had gone bad. Well, then God said to them, on Friday, I want you to pick up 2 quarts, because there's not going to be any on the Sabbath, because that's the Lord's day. So the Sabbath came, and what did people do? Well, they went out hoping they could pick up more manna because they didn't trust God. And what God did over time, and people learned it, that they simply had to trust God to provide for them, to give them all that they needed. The other thing is when it came to God, the offerings that God wanted people to give. And he called it the Old Testament tithe. You know what that was? It meant 10%. So God said to his people, I want you to give 10% back to the Lord. And of course, they didn't get paychecks like we do. But literally what they did is they would stand and they would hold out a staff, and whatever their animal, sheep, cattle, whatever, they would have them pass under the staff, under the rod, and one in every 10 was sent off from the temple. But they didn't count off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for me, 1 for God. It was the other way around. 1 went to God, and the next 9 went to them. He was telling them to trust. They did the same thing with their crops, you know, the grain, the grapes, whatever. The first bushel went to the temple, the next 9 they could keep. Then 1 to the temple, then the next 9 they could keep. He was teaching them first fruit giving, right? To give first to the Lord and then trust that God would provide what they needed. But there was a problem with that. It wasn't joyful giving. They were very definitely being compelled, right? This was a law. You do it. And of course, people didn't like it, and as time went on, they honestly stopped doing it. Or if they did give the 10%, they gave it very grudgingly because they thought of all the stuff they could do with that 10%. And they didn't want to send it off to the temple, and it was used for sacrifices. It was also used to support the temple, but it was done very grudgingly, and people stopped doing it. But that's how God trained them. Well, now you come into the New Testament, and God doesn't say anything about the tithe or 10%. What he says is what he says here. Let each of us in our heart decide what we're going to give, and don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it under compulsion, but do it joyfully. And that's why no church, and I know churches do that. I know there are churches that say, if you're a member of this church, you have to give 10%. No church has a right to do that. No pastor has a right to do that. No one has a right to tell you what to give. what God says the church should do and what I'm hopefully doing today is simply encouraging you to be generous, joyful givers when it comes giving back to the Lord. So how do you decide all this? Well, first of all, God talks about giving first fruits, right? And hopefully you do that. Hopefully that you have already decided what you're going to give each week to the church and make it a first fruit instead of simply saying, well, okay, Sunday morning's coming, I better decide what I have and look in your wallet and say, well, what's left? Because when you do that, it's very much going to be grudgingly, right? Now, I know we have a lot of people who know exactly what they're going to give. We also have people in our church who give 10%, which means when they get their paycheck, the very first thing they do is they write 10% of that check, and they write a check for 10% of that check, put it in their church envelope, and they live on the other 90%. But see, that's the problem Israel had. They would give 10% to the Lord, and they were upset because they couldn't live on the other 90%. And remember, they didn't have all the stuff we have, right? You know, if they had food, clothing, and a place to live, that's all that they were happy because that's pretty much all that was available, right? I mean, they didn't have to worry about the price of gas, their car, their cell phone, and all that other stuff. And, you know, that's the problem we have in our society today. I think I've mentioned before, and you're aware of the fact that church contributions as a percentage of income keep going down. I remember early in my ministry saying that the average Lutheran gives anywhere from 4 to 5% of their income to the church. Well, that's now under 2%. And remember, that's an average. There are people who give a whole lot less than 2%, and some people don't give anything at all. And I don't think it's a problem that people say, I don't want to. Okay, I think it's a problem where people are saying, I'm not content to live on the other 90%, or I'm not content to live on the other 98% now. And I believe that's a problem in our whole society, is too many people want to live above their means. And like I say, I don't think it's a lack of love for Jesus. I think it's a lack of financial planning. It amazes me as I'm approaching retirement to find out that 55%, I think that was the figure, somewhere in there, 55% of baby boomers, and that's me, have set aside nothing for retirement. Nothing. Because they claim they can't afford it. Because they're living above their means. That's why the percentage of people who are carrying $30,000 and $40,000 credit card outstanding bills is because they're not content and they're living above their means. So it's no wonder. It's no wonder that people don't have anything left to give to the Lord. And that's why God says it has to be cheerful giving. Nobody can force you. Nobody can tell you. But remember what God said here. All grace, God will provide all things so that you can serve him in every good work. It's trusting the Lord. And my friends, that's all we're asking anybody to do. Is simply look at the grace of God. Look at Jesus and what he means for you. and the love you have for Jesus because he's saved you. And yes, look at St. Andrew Church and the love you have for St. Andrew Church and the work that we do here, sharing the pure gospel of Jesus in this neighborhood. And then in your heart, decide how much of your income you are going to set aside to give back to Jesus and support your church. And see, it's totally up to you. Each person in their heart, each one of you in your heart, you decide what to give. Don't do it reluctantly. Nobody's forcing you. God loves a cheerful giver. So can you do that? Can you give God the first fruits? Can you decide how much of your income off at the very beginning you're going to give instead of waiting till you see what's have left over? And then you look at the grace of God, you look at Jesus, you look at your church, and you decide what to give. And do it cheerfully. Do it with joy. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen.